Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from Let Your Kingdom Come. This is a book that traces the kingdom of God all the way through the Bible, on into the intertestamental period, into the New Testament, into church history, to show you that the kingdom of God is something that the people of God have been aware of and expecting all this time, and we're still looking for it. I've come to 170 BC now. We just finished the Old Testament. We started the intertestamental period with a man named Tobiah. Now we're looking at Ecclesiasticus, the book of Ecclesiasticus. Now these are apocryphal books, that is, deuterocanonical, that is, they are not considered inspired of God in the sense of the Bible books that we know of, the 66 books. They are in the Catholic Bible. They were in the original King James Bible, but they're not in the Bible today. We are at 170 BC, as I said, and we're talking about the kingdom and Ecclesiasticus. Now, if you go to the Got Questions website, Got Questions, you'll find out that this book, which is an apocryphal document, was supposedly written by a guy named Jesus, no connection. That's the Greek form of Joshua. He was a philosopher who lived in Jerusalem and knew the scriptures well. Consider these quotes, Ecclesiasticus chapter 44, verses 19 to 23. It says, Abraham was a great father of many people. In glory was there none like unto him, who kept the law of the Most High, and was in covenant with him. He established the covenant in his flesh, and when he was proved, he was found faithful. Therefore, he, God, assured him by an oath that he would bless the nations in his seed, and that he would multiply him as the dust of the earth, and exalt his seed as the stars, and cause them to inherit from sea to sea, and from the river unto the utmost part of the land. With Isaac did he establish likewise for Abraham his father's sake the blessing of all men and the covenant, and made it rest upon the head of Jacob. He acknowledged him in his blessing, and gave him a heritage, and divided his portions among the 12 tribes. Did he part them? Well, confirmed so far, the land belongs to Israel. No question there. The covenant is sure. Now, these, again, not inspired words, but they are built on inspired words. You go to chapter 47 in Ecclesiasticus. It says, but the Lord will never leave off his mercy, neither shall any of his works perish, neither will he abolish the posterity of his elect. And the seed of him that loveth him he will not take away. Wherefore he gave a remnant to Jacob, and out of him a root unto David. Amen. We would have to agree with that. Well, we're still in the period between Malachi and Matthew. Yes, there was life going on in between those two men and their books. 100 BC, the kingdom and the Maccabees. Now, the Maccabees histories tell some of the story of Israel between the Testaments. Some church traditions actually consider them inspired, but most Protestants do not. Still, much of the history is accurate and useful to one who needs to search out this era. I found a few quotes of interest regarding the kingdom. In 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 57, David, for being merciful, possessed the throne of an everlasting kingdom. Yes, I'm talking now. The coming kingdom was assumed even in the midst of reversals in the Grecian world. Look at 2 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. God be gracious unto you, and remember his covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his faithful servants. We hope also that the God that delivered all his people and gave them all an inheritance and the kingdom and the priesthood and the sanctuary, as he promised in the law, will shortly have mercy upon us and gather us together out of every land under heaven into the holy place. For he hath delivered us out of great troubles, and hath purified the place. Well, they believed that the end was near, but at least they believed what the scriptures teach about that end, which is the regathering of Israel. We talk now about the kingdom and its king as we move into New Testament times. The desire of nations is coming. The promised king is on the way. He is the king of Israel and is coming to the lost sheep of that nation. His teachings, his death, his resurrection are all about Israel first. Certainly all the nations shall hear about this good news of the kingdom, and all shall be invited, but to the Jew first, and then the Gentile. Jesus now comes. Please note that even after 400 years of silence, angels and men have not forgotten the promise to Abraham, David, and the rest. How about the kingdom and Gabriel? In Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. We move to the kingdom and Mary, 0 AD, we would have to call the date here. Luke chapter 1, 54-55, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Notice, even when Mary is praising God about what's happening now, all she can think about is the promise of God of a kingdom that's coming. Number 40 in this long list of people and books that document the coming of the kingdom. It's AD zero still. We're talking about the kingdom and Zacharias in Luke 1, verses 70 to 75. You remember Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, as he spoke, he's talking now, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. The Spirit of God, speaking through a priest, the father of John the Baptist, that the covenant is going to be remembered. Nothing's been forgotten. How about John the Baptist himself in AD 30? It was a happy time, I believe, though they didn't maybe know it, but for Israel, when a messenger appeared in the desert announcing a kingdom that was very near. He called it the kingdom of heaven, and he insisted that to be a part of this kingdom, the people would have to turn their lives around. And as a seal of their repentance, he symbolically washed them in the waters of baptism. Matthew records that Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the regions around the Jordan went out to him. They repented, they confessed, and were baptized. Let's read about it in Matthew 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But wait, where's the kingdom? Where's this promised kingdom that John promised? Where was the anointed king? Was this just another attempt by another charlatan? They had had many. Show us. Just what did the Jews hear when they listened to John? Did John and later Jesus even have to define what they were talking about? Hadn't the people been steeped in this language of kingdom from childhood? Jesus was to answer those questions by his appearance and his life and ministry. Oh, but please know that nothing he said, though difficult to understand, changed one jot or one tittle of the words of the prophets. Jesus expanded the definition of kingdom, to be sure, but he never canceled what his servants of old had said. You see, when one is God, he can define and fulfill all at the same time. It is we who must have it one way or the other. Our minds don't grasp, and therefore our hearts don't believe. With the coming of Jesus, the beginning of the fulfillment of all the kingdom promises had arrived. The king was here. At the end of his life, he would even offer himself to Israel as the king, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, a peaceful takeover, as it were. But it was not to be. Not then. Messiah knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that he was going to be rejected, but the offer had been made. One day he will finish that offer a bit more forcefully. Meanwhile, his rejection has meant the acceptance of millions of sheep into his fold. Next time we begin talking about the kingdom and its Messiah, Jesus. Amen. I hope that you'll be able to be here. Until then, I hope that you'll be able to look around the site and see the 3,400 plus audios that are there now, with various teachings, with readings of great men of God, with all the reminders to pray about North Korea, hundreds of audios of North Korea, and a whole lot more. Would you look around the site? And I hope that you will be blessed. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and this audio is being released on the 8th of November, 2022. May the Lord bless you, and hope we'll get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.